You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, we finally made it to a Friday. It's a Mead Friday at that, in case you're wondering what's on the menu. It's Packers versus Saints. In other words, brats in beer and also smoked Creole jambalaya.
What?
Yes, the Packers play the Saints on NBC coming up on Sunday night. And Alan, our IT guy slash cook chef, has come up with brats in beer with homemade mustard and buttered kraut against smoked Creole jambalaya. We'll have that for you. Fresh off the Traeger grill coming up a little bit later on. Well, surprise, surprise, the Lakers went to the free throw line last night. And much to the chagrin of the Denver Nuggets, they picked up the victory. The Lakers went 28 of 35 from the foul line. Meanwhile, Denver attempted 23 free throws in the loss, 12 less than the Lakers, their lowest total of the series. Lakers beat the Nuggets 114 to 108, and they got the Nuggets right where they want them. Or is this right where the Nuggets have the Lakers? 3-1. Woody Page from ESPN, a columnist for the Denver Post, will join us coming up. He didn't like the fact that the Lakers were begging for free throws, and they got those free throws. Here's the Nuggets head coach, Mike Malone, after the loss.
Late in the game, I thought Jamal Murray attacked the basket a few times where it appeared to be contact. So we'll watch the film and we'll send our clips in and we'll reach out to the NBA and kind of make our points noted. And whether them going through the proper channels affected tonight or not, I have no idea. The NBA does a great job of listening. And then hopefully, you know, you hope that next game, maybe some of those fouls are called.
Passive aggressive, but that's what the coach's job is here. You know, LeBron and Frank Vogel, especially Frank Vogel, the Lakers, that's his job the previous game. He's just saying, hey, LeBron goes to the, you know, the basket. You got to call some of those fouls, right? This is what I love. When a coach gets there at the podium at the end of a game, he'll look at the stat sheet. Now, you don't want to criticize the officials, but you'll just go, oh, man, I mean, that's LeBron had 3 free throws? Oh, gosh, I mean, that's surprising. So you don't want to criticize, but it's a passive-aggressive approach. Phil Jackson was great at doing this. Pat Riley was great at, masters at doing this. And all you do is you go, you know, okay, well, you know, we got to be a little more aggressive and, you know, hopefully we get some of these calls here. So now Denver is going to do the same thing and send some video to the NBA and maybe they get a couple more calls here. And really that's what it comes down to because nobody's blowing out anybody here. Lakers 114 to 108. Anthony Davis was the best player on the floor. I thought the Lakers did a great job in neutralizing the Joker there, Jamal Murray. Playing big boy basketball there, but 3-1. We'll talk to Chip Kelly, UCLA head coach. He'll join us coming up in the final hour. Michael Thompson, the Lakers radio analyst, will join us coming up as well. Mentioning the Pac-12, they're back. They start action November 6th. Teams will play 7 conference games. And what it is 6 conference games, and then that final weekend, you'll have first place versus first place, second place versus second place. Same thing that the Big Ten did. This is what I was told. Here's the news out of the Pac-12 coming back, and may not be headline worthy, but my source told me last night, unlike the Big Ten, the Pac-12 had to agree unanimously to play because the Big Ten wasn't unanimous. Not that you care, but there was some arm twisting that went on, according to my source. With the Pac-12, everybody had to be in agreement, had to be unanimous, and it was. But we'll talk to Chip Kelly about that. You know, we start to look at when you start and can you get involved in the playoff, you know, the Final Four. The Pac-12 hasn't been in the Final Four since Washington in 2016. And according to the preseason polls, they don't have a top 5 team. There's no Reggie Bush, Matt Leinart, USC team. Oregon is probably the one team that may sneak in, could sneak in, but it's going to be really difficult for the Pac-12 to get a team in to that Final Four, given that they're going to be starting November 6th. They're just going to be so far behind, and it might be one of those where you take 2 SEC teams. I don't know if you take 2 ACC teams, or maybe you take 2 SEC, maybe you get a team out of the Big Ten and maybe somebody out of the Big 12. But the Pac-12 is going to be frozen out, I would think. And they're trying to make the best of a good tough situation, and it's not going to result in playing for a national championship, but at least the fans out west get to enjoy their schools playing at least part of a football season. But We'll talk to Chip Kelly about that. This program is brought to you by the great folks at Home Depot, giving a shout out to all those pros that are working hard every day. You got delivery options to get you what you need exactly where you need it, so you can keep going and doing whatever it takes to get the job done. The Home Depot, how doers get more done. Fitzmagic, he's Mr. September. Ryan Fitzpatrick last night leading the Dolphins over the Jags, and it was pretty impressive there. That was one of those performances that you go, Tua couldn't do that. Ryan Fitzpatrick had a spectacular game. He caught a pass, runs for a touchdown, throws a couple of touchdown passes, completes 90% of his passes. He is Mr. September. Yes, McLovin.
You can't say he caught a pass. He threw it and the defensive lineman batted it right back to him.
Did it count as a catch?
Oh, it's not like Nick Foles in the Super Bowl running the Philly special.
No, it's not. But he did catch a pass.
Okay.
This goes back to you went to Dartmouth. He went to Harvard. This is Ivy on Ivy League crime.
And who? I look like I went to an Ivy League school. He does not.
Now, if you look at what he looked like when he first came into the league, he looked like he went to Harvard. Now, I don't know where, like what school. He looks like at University of Hawaii, maybe. Yes, Paulie?
2018, Dan. Guess who was Player of the Week for the NFC on offense the first 2 weeks of the season?
Yeah, it'd be Fitzmagic.
Ryan Fitzpatrick. Yeah. He's Mr. September.
What are his September numbers? I wonder if he, like, who is the greatest September quarterback in recent memory?
Chase Daniels, the greatest August quarterback.
Yes, he's the greatest preseason quarterback, I think, of all time. Do you think he sits around, like when he's an old man, Chase Daniel goes, come here, grandkids. I'm going to tell you about how great I was in August. But Grandpa, the games start in September. I know, but I was really good in August. He's got this huge house because he's made all this money being a backup quarterback, huge pool, and he's telling you about how he was Mr. August. Yes, McLovin.
That's when you earn money. He's sitting on a throne of money telling his grandkids.
And Ryan Fitzpatrick's got paid. I mean, he's made money. But Ryan Fitzpatrick now, where he's got the floral print shirt, he had the old school, the retro Adidas on, chest hair flowing out of there like the ivy at Wrigley. Yes,
he just found this amazing amount of swagger that you're like, dang.
And he's
look
got
at
it.
This dude.
Yeah. He's got it. There's just something about him. And I don't think he takes it too seriously. And he's playing well. He knows that he's not going to be the quarterback for the Dolphins next year. But at least the starting quarterback. All right, what kind of poll questions do you have for me?
This one is piping hot, Dan. Whose career would you rather have? Ryan Fitzpatrick, $71 million in the bank, mm-hmm. 142 starts, 214 TDs, or Jay Cutler, $122 million, 153 starts, 227 TDs. So you got the expectations of Cutler never being met or Ryan Fitzpatrick exceeding expectations.
I think I would rather be Ryan Fitzpatrick. I think he's well-liked. Jay Cutler is not.
Vanderbilt's the Harvard of the South, right?
Yeah. The expectation level for Cutler was sky high. I might be Ryan. I think Ryan Fitzpatrick has had moments. Jay Cutler hasn't had those moments where people are talking about your performance, like a standalone performance like Ryan Fitzpatrick has. The fact that he has played on six different teams that have beaten Jacksonville, like you have to have a certain level of talent to be on six teams, to play and start on six teams, and then you're beating the Jacksonville Jaguars. I don't know if anybody comes close to that record. Is there a quarterback who's played for at least six teams defeating one particular opponent? Yeah, Paulie.
Fitzpatrick and Cutler, their stats are almost exact. It's like 215 touchdowns for Fitzpatrick, 227 for Cutler, 33,000, 35,000 yards. By about November, he'll catch Jay Cutler for career stats.
Yes, Eden.
But is being more liked by people worth $50 million? I don't know that it is. I'll take the extra 50 mil in the bank and be like, okay, hate me. See you later. I'm going to be on my yacht.
But it looks like Ryan Fitzpatrick is having more fun. Like Jay Cutler never looks like he's having fun. Even with $50 million, it doesn't look like he's having fun.
He doesn't have to look like he's having fun.
Hmm. Maybe talk to his ex-wife about that. Yes, McLovin.
Fitzpatrick did play in a lot of Florida, Texas, you know, state tax. He probably catches up with Jay Cutler.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, McLovin. Yes, Todd.
And no one ever accused Fitzpatrick of being aloof or disinterested and not caring what's going on during the course of a game. He's got, you know, the passion and the beard and everything. Every time you look at Jay Cutler, it's like, I throw an interception. Maybe he catches it. Maybe he doesn't.
If he starts dating Christian Cavallari, then...
Wow. Yeah. That's too soon.
No, he's married. In fact, I think he said in his post-game press conference, he's like, hey, look, soak this in, but I'm taken. I'm married. We'll be calling for Tua in probably 3 weeks, though, of course, in Miami. Yeah, Paulie.
It was funny, as they go to break, I think they're like, Ryan Fitzpatrick tearing it up, 11 for 11. The Miami Dolphins are up, blah, 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 blah. They go to break, it's a Tua commercial. Tua Tagovailoa commercial for like Gillette or something like that. So the starting quarterback for the Miami Dolphins has no commercials running during the game, but the backup quarterback does.
Do you think somebody bought that knowing that week three, Tua will probably be in there? So we're going to buy. It's like when they buy, who's our quarterback with the Cleveland Browns?
Baker.
Baker Mayfield. You know, hey, we're going to buy all that ad time. You know, we're going to buy commercial time with him late in the season. And then you tune in and you go, this doesn't look good. Yes, Todd.
Yeah, and Bede's another one. You're constantly seeing that Mountain Dew. He's upset about his little app, his GIF, whatever. And like the Sixers got nowhere near the finals.
If Denver forces a game six tomorrow night, Lakers Nuggets will tip off Monday night at 7. Chiefs Ravens kick off at 8:15. You know, the good part of last night, I could flip back and forth with Nuggets Lakers. The Thursday night game wasn't close, and then I watched UAB versus South Alabama as well. I got a little bit of time with that last night as well. I don't know, there's just something about a college football game during the week that I love. Like Maction, when it's on Wednesday night, is awesome. Mac is next up. They're going to vote, I think, today or tomorrow, on if they're going to come back. Pac-12 Mountain West will be playing this fall. So it's pretty much everybody coming back. And also keep an eye out on college basketball and how they're going to be able to pull this off as well. Because the Pac-12 said, we're not doing anything in the fall. Now, looks like you're bringing back football. Basketball is going to be played as well right around Thanksgiving. So there's a lot of moving parts here. What other poll question options do we have, McLovin?
Which is more likely, that the SEC gets two teams into the Final Four or that the Pac-12 gets one team? And based on what you said, maybe that's not even a fair question because the Pac-12 won't have enough of a resume.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
How about three teams for the SEC?
Well, that could happen. That could happen. Yeah, Paulie.
If college football, for this one season, under these trying times, as they always say, expanded the playoffs from 4 games to 8 under the guise of getting all the conferences a chance to be in.
When do we use guys other than under the guise of?
That's it, I think.
McLovin, have you ever used the word guys, unless we're talking about a bunch of guys?
Like guys and dolls? No.
Yeah, you know, like G-U-I-S-E? Is that?
Yeah, I don't even know what it means. Under the view?
What is the under the purview of?
I think it's to say like it's kind of faux, under the guise
under
of.
Under the guise of. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
I really didn't.
No, you're honorable.
But if you expand it to 8 teams, you solve your revenue problems in one day, one weekend. You an 8-game playoff, call up ESPN and Fox and those guys, say, hey, let's do it. 8 teams into playoffs this year, add an extra week. All the fans will love it. More college football, make some money. Then you'll know whether you want to go to 8 permanently or go back to 4.
Well, everybody's going to want to go to 8.
Yeah.
Like we rarely go, nope, let's go back to 4. Like, you know, baseball expanding, I don't think they're going to contract those playoff spots. You know, the NFL expanding, they all want to expand, get more teams in, more playoff revenue. Yeah, McLovin.
But Pac-12 Commissioner Larry Scott was asked about this yesterday and said, no, we have no interest in that. Why would he say that if he has no chance of getting into the Final Four anyway? Wouldn't he want 8?
Yeah, they pushed back on that. There were some people who responded saying, if you're the Pac-12 Commissioner, you should be fighting for more opportunities here to get a playoff team in and showcase. You know, this had the potential, still might be a disastrous season for the Pac-12. You got to have something here at the end of the rainbow where you go, all right, it was worth going through all of these hurdles, you know, these obstacles here, and maybe you get Oregon in there. But, you know, when do the preseason rankings had Oregon in the top 10, I believe.
But I think that is Penny Sewell coming back for them, that all-star left tackle that everyone loves?
I don't know if he is opting back in. Rondale Moore is coming back for Purdue. I saw that. But I'm not sure, but I don't know what you can do contractually of opening up that Final Four. As Paulie loves to say, money opens contracts.
Right.
And maybe that's the case here, but it seems like that this would be the time when you do it. But if you go to eight, then you're not coming back to four. Because we're all going to go, oh, this is awesome.
If I'm the Pac-12, I skip eight and go to 16. Insure us.
Or go to 12.
Yeah.
You know, Pac-12. Yes, McLevin.
I had a poll question option. Do you understand how the MLB playoffs work? Speaking of expansion, I've read it five times. I still don't know who's playing who.
I don't know. I'm just waiting until they get there. And then I don't know if there's a best of or best of three. I'm not quite sure. I just know the Toronto Blue Jays, the Buffalo Blue Jays, made the postseason. Are the Blue Jays going to go back to Toronto?
I don't think any of the playoff teams are at home, right? They're all in the bubble.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but they got relocated anyways to Buffalo. They're not playing their games in Toronto.
So they all fly out to San Diego on Monday? Is that what's happening? I don't.
Was it San Diego and then Texas?
San Diego, Texas, L.A., and Houston.
Yeah. Yes, Paul.
If the Blue Jays win the World Series, the parade has to be in Buffalo.
Yes.
Has to be.
Or at least, they won't let you into Toronto. You right. can't get into Canada. Do you go right up to the border there and then turn around and come back?
Yeah.
Like what's the parade route if you if the Blue Jays win? That's all right. We'll take a break. The great Woody Page will join us and talk about his Nuggets now down 3-1. Chip Kelly, UCLA head coach. Michael Thompson, the Lakers radio analyst, will join us on the program as well. Phone calls are always welcome. We say good morning to our friends at Peacock. And in fact, some of the members of Peacock paying us a visit here and joining us in the control room. So they want to keep an eye on Penny, Tyler, the moderator, and, of course, the big German in there, seeing if this is some fly-by-night TV production, which it is. And we say good morning to our radio partners, 362 strong around the world, or around the country. I don't know. It sounds more impressive. Yes, Paul.
I heard the Peacock management is here to lock down Tyler, the moderator's contract for 2021.
Well, that's a guy you don't want to let go.
That's right.
Yeah. There's a lot of talent around here.
Tyler T. Moderator.
In demand.
Initial T.
All right. Coming up on 19 after the hour, we're just getting started on this Meat Friday. We're back after this with Woody Page here on the Dan Patrick Show. Callaway, Big Bertha, B21 from Callaway, and they're back. You know, there's a ton of distance trapped inside your swing. You don't know this, but Big Bertha is here to unlock it. And I love her. You know, it's simple. It's straightforward. It's, basically that club meets ball, keeps it on the face a lot longer. They got the drivers, irons, woods, hybrids, and a new formula for forgiveness. Big Bertha, designed to reduce side spin, generating an insane amount of ball speed, and that leads to straighter shots off the tee. That's how you unleash your inner distance. Callaway made Big Bertha irons so forgiving, they can practically be hit anywhere on the face, and the ball just launches. No matter your swing, Big Bertha gives every shot more distance. Big Bertha, a full family of long, forgiving, really easy to hit clubs, so say hello to the fairway again. Introduce yourself to the green as well. Hello, green. Because this is distance, any way you swing it. Unlock your inner distance today at callawaygolf.com/Big Bertha. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. Play of the day coming up. Stat of the day as well. LeBron last night. LeBron didn't have a typical great game like LeBron can put in, but still 26, 8 assists, and 9 rebounds in 38 minutes of work. And I think they're going to pick their spots with LeBron when they get into the finals of how much you play him and then how much rest you give him. Because this is the first time that I've watched LeBron where it felt like he needed to pace himself a little bit more come postseason time. Because you don't have as many days in between each game. And it looked like, and then in the last couple of minutes, last 4 minutes, he says, I want to guard Jamal Murray. You can't have him guard Jamal Murray the rest of the game, but the final 4 minutes was pretty impressive there that LeBron said, hey, I want to guard him. Yeah, Seton.
Because it did seem like LeBron disappeared for stretches of the game, where all of a sudden it was like Rondo and AD took over or something, and you're like, wait a minute, is LeBron? Oh, no, he's out there, but he's just not, you know, he's just playing off the ball.
Dwight Howard looked great. You know, you have 12 points, 11 rebounds. You'll take that every single night. I thought Jokic got robbed a little bit, the fourth and fifth foul, and that's where the game changed a little bit for me because he didn't have a great game, and he has to have a great game. I still look at this bench. Rondo is wonderful. I wouldn't have Rondo play during the regular season. I would just say, hey, just show up for the postseason. He had 11 points. He had 7 assists, 5 rebounds, and 22 minutes of work. When you get those numbers from him, you take a little pressure off LeBron being the primary ball handler. But you're still, you know, you go down that roster and you're like, I don't know what I'm going to get. Kuzma gives you 10 points in 18 minutes. You'll take that. Let's see. Danny Green at 3 points. Kentavious Caldwell Pope Jr. the third at 13. He plays a lot of minutes. 34 minutes, 13 points. But Anthony Davis went for 34, 3 assists and 5 rebounds. So, you know, it's not pretty. They're not blowing anybody out. And I thought Jokic getting whistled for the fourth and fifth foul changed the game. Yeah, Paul.
Don't you think Dwight Howard is in the perfect position? They don't run one play for him the entire game. He'll get 5 putbacks, tip dunks or whatever. He doesn't have to play any offense except for offensive rebound, and he could just go nuts on defense. There's no pressure on him. No one's talking about him except for playing well. This is like the perfect point of his career.
Yeah, you don't have to make him the focal point. He doesn't get blamed for anything. You just go out there and just play. Get in the way of Jokic. You know, they got big men that you can, you know, kind of neutralize Jokic with Anthony Davis, JaVale McGee, and Dwight Howard. But, you know, they kept it close again. And the free throws, that Frank Vogel lobbied for more free throws, and you got more free throws last night. And now Mike Malone says, hey, I think we'll do the same thing. Jamal Murray has had a big jump in his stats in the bubble. You know, you start to look at, he averages 27 in the postseason. That's 8 more per game than he did in the regular season. That's the largest jump by any player with at least 8 games played in this postseason. So it's Jamal Murray plus 8 over his regular season numbers. Goran Dragic is plus 5. Jokic is plus 5. Brooke Lopez is almost 4 points better in the postseason. This guy is good. He's always in postseason form. He's Woody Page, Around the Horn panel, sports columnist who joins us. Good morning, Woody. How is morale in Denver?
I think people are in a moment in mourning of mourning because they felt like that the Nuggets could come back and make this more of a series last night. And I heard what you were saying about what the Nuggets did last night, but I think they've gained the respect of, A, the Lakers, LeBron James specifically, and a nation of the NBA, because people before thought, you know, it's a cute little team. And that's kind of what they've been, you know, they're young and they're cute and they have resilience and they come back and they're going to get up against the Lakers and just get blown out. And they've proven that this is a team that is not going to win this year, but next year people go and say, ooh, and this could be a destination, Dan, that people in the past didn't want to go to places like Milwaukee or Denver or Utah. And I think that when you have a showing like you do in the playoffs, that people going, yeah, that's a team I'd like to join. So I think that's good for the NBA. If you had a Miami Heat, Denver Nuggets NBA Finals, the ratings, which is so important to the NBA, wouldn't be certainly as high as the Lakers and the Celtics. But I think both the Miami Heat and the Denver Nuggets have proven that they can play with the big boys.
What did you make of Frank Vogel sort of lobbying for more free throws, in particular LeBron?
I thought that was real crap. Okay, you're the Lakers, so you got to go groveling to the NBA for a guy that is one of the 2 or 3 greatest players of all time. Hey, he needs to get to the free throw line. Well, it worked. And so Mike Malone, after last night's game, said, you know, we're going through the proper channels and have them look at our film now. So I think the series, is not over. I think the Nuggets could win another game. It's going to require, and you were talking about Jokic, but Jokic really needs to come out and play and not get in foul trouble as he has twice in the series.
Yeah, those that fourth and fifth foul, that changed the series, or changed the game, I think. And then LeBron saying he wanted to guard Jamal Murray down the stretch as well was kind of interesting. But Jamal Murray, I think, he and a couple of members of the Miami Heat, those are the guys that the bubble has really been beneficial to them. Devin Booker, we shouldn't be surprised. I mean, the guy scored 70 points in a game. So, but Jamal, what is it about Jamal Murray? If you were going to describe his style for somebody who hadn't seen him, Woody, how would you describe
it? Yeah, 23 years old, from Canada. I would say the best guard from Canada since Steve Nash. Because how many Canadian guards are there really in the world? But the thing about it is, people tend to forget that he's 6'4". He looks like he's smaller. People tend to think of point guards now at 6'1". But he's got speed, he's got size, and he's got toughness. You saw what happened when he went to the basket late in the game, and he didn't get a call whatsoever.
Yeah.
And I think you know me well enough that I'm not a homer, but I'm thinking, my goodness, the Lakers begged for LeBron to get to the free throw line, and he did. Why didn't they just start the game and say, LeBron, you get 10 free throws in a row, and then we'll start the game, and now we can move on with it. But Jokic doesn't go to the line, Murray doesn't go to the line, but to describe him as a guy, and you talked about it, the bubble has been the best thing in the world that's ever happened to him, because people discovered that there's a guy out there that actually can play this game and play it extremely well, because he has the ability to shoot the three-pointer 64% in the playoffs, that he's got a mid-range jumper, which has disappeared in the NBA. He's got a great mid-range jumper, and he goes to the basket. And we saw a move last night that's Michael Jordan-esque when he went to the basket, and that would be one of the two or three best plays we've seen. I mean, there have been last-second shots that have won games, but that was maybe the best around-the-basket play that we've seen throughout the entire playoffs. So I think he's been discovered. It's like Columbus discovering America. Hello, there are people that live here in America, but people have discovered a guy that actually existed for 3 years that was playing like that, particularly early in the playoffs when he scored 50.
Where did the Nuggets stand with the other, like the Broncos, Avalanche, Rockies, Nuggets? What's the pecking order there in Denver?
A third until last 2 weeks. The Broncos will always be number one. The NFL is the number one game. The Rockies, who haven't really accomplished much, four-game World Series against the Red Sox in 2007, but the Rockies and then the Nuggets and then the Avalanche. And oddly enough, the Avalanche have won two Stanley Cups and really were positioned to win another Stanley Cup this year. But I think that the city of Denver is in good shape in regard to, you know, people following the teams. The Broncos suck this year. And
Wait, you've given up on the Broncos already?
Yes.
Okay.
How long do you have to wait, Dan?
I usually wait till mid-season, Woody.
No, I you know, as a sports columnist for most of my life, and you know, being on ESPN, whatever it is I do there. Jokic is the Joker. I'm known in Denver as the clown. So that's always been my reputation. But you need to get out in front of these things, Dan. You know that from your career.
Oh, you got to have a hot take. This is your hot take. So after week two, the Broncos sunk.
Yeah, it's a real possibility if they lose to the Bucks and Brady this year, this weekend. They go to the Jets next Thursday night. Adam Gase, if he doesn't beat the Broncos, he's gone. He's fired. So I think they've got the Chiefs coming up twice. We've heard of them. They've got a trip to New England, and we've seen what the Patriots are doing with Cam Newton. They've got Drew Brees and the Saints coming to town soon. This is a team that's probably going to be at midseason when they have their bye week. They'll probably be 1-6, 2-5, something like that. So yes, I've already written them off, but that's what I do. I write and I write off.
You're going to sign off now as we say goodbye. Woody, great to see you. When are you back on Around the Horn?
Today. Ooh. About 45 minutes. But just for the world, we're going back into our studios. I've been stuck in here like the Count of Monte Cristo for 6 months, and we're going back into studios next week. So we'll be back to where we were with four panelists and Tony Reale and his Conan O'Brien hair.
Well, I was going to say, your hair looks better than Tony's, but then most people's hair looks better than Tony's.
Well, that's right. And I think I'm doing well for a man that's 104 years old. I look good for somebody who's under four. Actually, I'm 74, so I'll go with that.
Keep stirring it up, Woody. Great to talk to you as always. Thank you.
Say hello to the guys for me.
I will. Woody Page, ESPN Around the Horn. He's 104. Yeah, you know, Fritzy, didn't paint a good picture of your Broncos there. When you start to think they got Tom in Tampa coming in, if you don't beat the Jets,
it's really over.
But
oh, it sounds bad when you say
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that is ugly.
Yeah, because you got Kansas City twice. You got to go to New England. You got the Saints. You got Brady coming in.
Much better Vegas Raiders team. They could easily lose one, if not both of those games.
That is true. There was so much promise for the Broncos and Drew Locke to start the year. They drafted Henry Ruggs. Then Von Miller gets hurt. Drew Locke gets hurt.
Judy dropping balls left and right.
Or Ruggs with the Raiders. Judy with Denver. Yeah. And you thought playoffs this year, didn't you?
I had 9-6-1. You guys were teasing me about how do you know there's going to be a tie in there. But 9-6-1 and one wild card win and then they're out.
You might take a tie.
I would take a tie in a second. Right
yeah,
now.
Instead of if I said you could tie the Jets.
As opposed to rolling the dice and possibly having them lose to them, I may go for that tie.
All right, we'll come back. Play of the day. We'll settle on our poll question as well. Chip Kelly, UCLA head coach, will join us next hour. And Michael Thompson, the Lakers radio analyst, will join us coming up as well. Take a break. Back after this in the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Oh, my God.
The play. The play's called play. Of the day.
Check this out.
1-2 pitch. Swing and a miss to finish the ball game. And for the first time in 4 years, the Toronto Blue Jays are going back to the postseason. The Blue Jays went into 2020 with a let's see what can happen to let's make it happen mentality. They have clinched a berth into the postseason in downtown Buffalo.
That's courtesy of Sportsnet 590, the Fan, Blue Jays Radio Network. They wrap up the season with a three-game series against the Orioles in Buffalo this weekend. The Jays sit just 2 games back of the Yankees for the second spot in the American League East. That's your play of the day, brought to you by LegalZoom. During these unprecedented times, you can rely on LegalZoom for legal help. Visit LegalZoom.com today to take care of the things you need to get done without having to leave your home. That's LegalZoom.com. Every Friday, we're putting something on the Traeger grill. And we did something in conjunction with the Packers versus the Saints Sunday night on NBC. We gave you the brats and beer with homemade mustard for the Packers, and then the Saints smoked Creole jambalaya. Well, I went out and I started to examine the jambalaya and the brats, and I said, those look like they're done. I can't wait till 11:30 to have a brat. Like, when is too early for a brat?
Great question, Dan. And the answer is never.
Okay.
Because it's a tailgate. It's like a pre-tailgate college football kickoff weekend. Let's get some brats in us around 10:15.
I'm thinking next hour that we should just do a test drive and pick up a brat. Yes, Todd?
That's a fabulous idea.
Thank you, Todd. All right, did we settle on a poll question, McLovin?
Yeah, I put up, should college football playoff expand to 8 teams? 64% say yes.
All right.
Early in the voting.
Yeah, I'm fine with it. But I think if you do it, then you're not coming back. I think we should establish that we won't come back because everybody's going to love it. I don't know if somebody's going to go, well, too many teams in. If you have 8, I don't think anybody's going to complain. Yeah, McLovin.
So if everyone loves it, then it makes sense to do it.
Yeah, but you have a contract that says, I believe the language is, that you won't open up this TV contract until 2024 just to prevent this from happening. But during the pandemic, now we want to open it up. and then you're going to close it up after this year? Because everybody's going to go, look at all the revenue we made. And we made Mac back some money because we lost that to games that we couldn't hold. I don't think anybody's going to say it's too much of college football because it's eight teams. I don't think anybody's going to complain about that. Yeah, Paulie.
I wonder if this could be spun into a good thing. If they expand to eight teams and rip up the contract and say, look, these college budgets took a hit this year. We're losing sports, and we can maybe save men's swimming and women's volleyball and these things by getting another $300 million of college football revenue. That's where some of that money does go, a portion of it.
I don't know, though, contractually, if you're allowed to do it. As you say, money opens up contracts, but 2025 is where the contract goes through. But I don't know if, you know, there's openers there that you can say we can revisit this.
Yeah. I think both sides of the contract would want it. You know, you call ESPN and Fox and say, hey, we want to make an 18 playoff. We're all going to make way, way, way more money. ESPN's having tough times. Fox is having tough times. They're doing layoffs because of what's going on the past 7 months.
Well, I think this is the NCAA that, because if I'm running Fox or ESPN, of course I want more games. And if you lose out on bowl games, you know, the Outback Bowl, those kind of games, and you could still have more playoff revenue, everybody's going to agree to that. I don't know why have that language then in the contract that says you can't, you know, we can't open it up and then you, all of a sudden you change this from 4 to 8 or 8 to 16. Yeah, Paul.
One idea that we had a few years ago to save the bowl game. So let's say there's a Fiesta Bowl. The Final Four becomes the Fiesta Bowl, not like it is now. But the first round of games, the round of eight teams, that's the Gator Bowl and the Blue Bonnet Bowl. I'm using old names to be jokey, but that could be the GoDaddy Bowl, and that could be the Tostitos, and that could be the AutoZone Bowl. Everyone gets a bowl, and it rotates.
Well, they're worried about how many games can fans travel to. And, you know, of course, they weren't factoring in that there could be a pandemic, but how many games will fans go to? Because these cities, these destinations, they want to get a packed house in there. And that's where could you have a couple of home games on, you know, do you get to the Final Four and make that home games? And make that, let's say Alabama is playing Ohio State and Alabama's the higher seed, they get to host this. But all the other bowl games could lead us to, and how many games are you going to have during the regular season? Because you're going to get up to 15, 16 games. I mean, you're going to be treating these guys like they're pros. And I just, we're going to get there because that's where the money is. But I would be overly cautious of expanding this now, because if you do, then you're not looking back. It's rare when you go, you know, on second thought, we have too many playoff teams. That just doesn't happen. Baseball's expanding, and I don't think they're going to look back. Now, if you don't make the playoffs now, like it should be difficult to keep your job because half the leagues make the playoffs. And you saw that with baseball. All right, Paulie and I have a busy afternoon.
Oh, boy.
So not only do we try to entertain a nation here, and then I've got to eat a couple of brats and some jambalaya, we're moving a chair later on. Paulie is going to take a chair to Vermont in the back of his truck. And then I'm going to meet him, and then we're going to take the chair in. And I didn't tell Paulie how far we have to take the chair, but we have to take it in and then up the stairs.
One flight of stairs.
One-ish flight of stairs. And then we have to somehow squeeze it into a bedroom.
And it's I would call it a chair and a half. I think that's what
they call
it.
Yes, it's a love seat, I think.
Oh, it's a love seat.
Yeah.
Expanding by the moment.
Yes, it is.
Now, are you going to participate in the
movie? I don't know. You know, I've had surgeries, and I don't know if you want me as one of your wingmen.
So I'm moving the chair. You're the general contractor?
Yes. I'm going to be able to tell you where to move it.
Watch the wall. Watch the wall.
Watch the painting.
God, don't be that guy.
I know.
Don't be the director. If you don't got hands on it, then shh.
I'm just going to tell you where to take it, and then I'll stand back.
You got it, Paul. Paul's just going to have to move end by end. You know, like when you're trying to move furniture by yourself, and you're like this side and that side.
So I got to kind of roll it up the stairs.
No. I figure you know people.
Right.
In Vermont.
Or I could get one of those things the movers do where they have the straps on their chest and they're carrying
Dude, those guys are awesome.
Like a pack.
Those guys are great.
Yeah, I don't think you can do that with the size of this chair. Yes, Todd.
Is it going to be like that scene from Friends? Pivot! Pivot! They're going up the steps with the couch. Pivot!
Can't imagine Todd helping.
I'm going to sit that one out, I think. You guys could send me pictures how that works.
Yeah.
Do we need another person?
Yes, you do.
What's the standard pay for moving a big chair?
A six-pack of beer. Your choice. Yeah. Or
an autographed picture of Dan Patrick.
There you go.
But I've given that to you before.
The pleasure of my company.
Yeah. I gave you the autographed picture. I can't do that. Can't go to that well again.
You should do play-by-play of the chair move.
And maybe Fritzy could do that.
Better get Mannix on the horn.
Ooh.
Oh.
No. It'd be funny to have Mannix help move the chair.
He's up there.
But he might be as lame as I am. I've had these surgeries.
I like how you tell me after it's in my truck and loaded up, and I have no way out of this situation.
I know. And Paulie goes, "Hey, I got the chair in the truck." I go, "Great! Now we just need somebody to help you move it." He goes, "What?" He goes, "Well, how many steps am I climbing?" I go, "I don't know. I lost track."
I have a feeling you're going to be on your couch watching.
No. I'm going to be there. I will be there, and I'll just say, "Hey, don't mind. That's okay. You put a hole in the wall. That's okay. Don't worry about it. Just keep going. I'm going to take it out of your paycheck." Now all of a sudden you're getting a 3-pack, not a 6-pack there. All right, so we have our poll question, right, McLovin?
Yeah, it looks like people are down with eight teams. We could switch it up later. I have some must-win football team, NFL games.
Yeah, I want to get to that. By the way, I mentioned Ryan Fitzpatrick has beaten the Jacksonville Jaguars as the quarterback of six different teams. Earl Morrill beat the Giants with four different teams. Earl Morrill also beat the Cardinals with four different teams. Chris Chandler, he beat the Broncos with four different teams. There's quite a few guys. Trent Dilfer beat the Cardinals four times. Kerry Collins, four different teams. Jeff Garcia, four different teams. Ryan Fitzpatrick, four different teams beating the Redskins. But Chris Chandler is the only other player to start a game against the same opponent as a member of six different teams. Fitzpatrick, he faced the Eagles seven times. So I guess that's seven different teams. The Colts, he did that, six different teams. The Jags, six. Steelers, six. And Washington, six different times. So Ryan Fitzpatrick has had a really interesting career. Odd career, but a fun career at that. And he is Mr. September. Yes, McLovin.
Kerry Collins was on four different teams. I don't remember that at all. Giants, Panthers, and
I just remember those two.
Yeah.
But, you know, later in a career, you don't realize. I think I told you guys Ryan Fitzpatrick played for the Bengals. And you're like, the Bengals? And I go, for some reason, I think he did. Who's the guy in the NBA?
Tony Massenburg?
Wasn't a guy out of NC State or
Chucky
Maryland?
Chucky Green or Chucky?
Chucky Brown.
Chucky Brown.
Chucky Brown. Didn't he have like 10 teams? Now, are you good? You have to be a certain level of good to make it for 10 different teams, right? Even though you don't stick with those 10 teams. Joe Smith played for 12 teams. He might still be on a roster right now. 1 hour in the books, two more to go. UCLA head coach Chip Kelly coming up.